Can everyone stand for our Pledge of Allegiance? And after we do the pledge, we're going to observe a moment of silence for our longtime employee, Tom Davis. Right hand over your heart, face the flag. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Tom recently lost his battle with cancer.
We did.
We're also going to close the meeting in his name today. 7.0 public comments, recognition reports.
She can, or it can be under AATA, however, I don't know. Marilyn, do you want to do it under ATA, or would you like to do it now? I mean, it's in either way.
Matter.
Okay.
You're welcome to do it now if you like.
Okay, sure.
Either way.
Absolutely. Hello. Hi. I am Marilyn Alford, a very proud teacher of High Desert Middle School, and I am here to share some wonderful things that are happening at High Desert. We are a redesignated schools to watch. We are very excited about that honor. Under the leadership of Mary Kremrick and with the effort of our dedicated and loyal staff, we received the redesignation. And this is something that we received 3 years ago. Schools to watch is something that you have to be redesignated for every 3 years. So we are very proud of that opportunity to share with the community, and we look forward to a big celebration for that. Also, High Desert is very honored to announce the continued dedication of staff with the Medal of Honor Character Education Program. Through this program, it helps to instill character traits that students take on to learn how to be lifelong service dedicated kids. And with that, and the committed staff at High Desert, the staff has gone through trainings through the Reagan Library and received certification showing that they are trained in the character education program. Because of that partnership and the dedication of the staff at High Desert, we have been asked to host a Medal of Honor recipient at High Desert Middle School next month, February 11th. And we are very pleased to say that Sergeant Gary Viper, Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam, will be coming to our school for a school-wide assembly, as well as we are hosting elementary school kids, fifth graders, will be coming, about 85 students from Metal Arc, and about 100 students from Vasquez. So we want to be able to bridge that out. Vasquez is just really starting to dig into Medal of Honor, and the elementary school has been starting the roots of the program under Kim Tredick with sharing the character traits with all of the students. So I am here to invite our school board here to come and be a part of that wonderful assembly. We have 4 Medal of Honor recipients that will be coming to California. They're all from the East Coast. And so Gary Viper comes from New York. He was a middle school counselor for 20 years after serving in Vietnam and kind of going out and living in a cave for a couple of years, and not being able to assimilate back into society for quite a while. So he went to become a pastor and then went on to become a middle school counselor. So we are really thrilled to have him come into the middle school to speak to all of our students and to our staff. So I would like to invite you all to come and
enjoy. What time on February 11th?
That is February 11th at 10 o'clock. Dr. Woodard, I am formally inviting you to attend that as well.
Yep.
We are working very hard as a staff and with the high school to put on a wonderful assembly for our students.
That's great.
And this will all be student-oriented.
Fantastic.
Also, one more to kind of tote is Michelle Van Ornum. Michelle Van Ornum is our yearbook advisor, and for the past 2 years, she has received recognition for the cover of the yearbook. This year, she has been honored as having an outstanding yearbook from last year that they want to use it as a national representation for all schools of middle school across the country. So her yearbook will be a sample for other schools to look at. So we have a lot of great things going on at High Desert. And I also, lastly, for those of you that would like to attend a training, it is not uncalled, unheard of, I should say, for school board members to come to trainings for the character education program. So if you'd like to see what that looks like and what the teachers have gone through, you are also very much invited to one of those. The next one will be in March in San Bernardino.
Okay. I have a couple. May I? Please. So first, congratulations to all of you guys at the high school. There's been a lot of excitement about the high school.
Mm-hmm.
We're finally building it. And because of the improvements over there with the AP testing and the lost 3-year accreditation for the first time. But,
six years.
The first time. So, there's 300 different schools in the district. I still count that with all state. I think it's wonderful that you guys achieved what you did. And we got some very favorable press down in Santa Clarita on this one because the only other school in the area that was
redesignated
was in
Castaic. Yeah.
So, very good job. And then I would just suggest perhaps maybe invite the, what's the highest grade over at Einstein? I would also
currently it's fifth grade.
Invite them maybe too. We want these kids to continue going to junior high here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So,
absolutely.
So you didn't mention them, and I think maybe that's my suggestion.
Okay.
I keep them in the fabric.
Do you know how many students we have?
I don't.
Because
I know it might be tight, but
part of having the assembly is because these are kids that have actually gone through the program, that are currently using it, and are dedicated to the program.
All right. So I didn't realize that. I thought perhaps it was an exam, just like you send the high school kids down to the junior high to do real recruiting at the road show.
Right.
I thought this was maybe an attempt to do that at the elementary level. And in that context, I thought it'd be appropriate to. Invite them as well. So make your own determination. I just don't want us to forget about them. We want those kids to matriculate.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the criteria for high school kids to be coming too, is that they are using the program as well. So that's a great idea. We can go and introduce the program as well.
I'm
misguided.
That's good.
Yes, we will have a press release that'll be going out. To all papers, and it'll be something that you're going to.
Mrs. Alford?
For sure. Yeah.
It'd be great to put on the school website also, on the High Desert website.
Mm-hmm. We will definitely do that. We have a press release that the Reagan has forwarded to us that gives us all the criteria of what they want us to put in for Sergeant Biker. And it's for me, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I have met him several times, but for him to come and speak to my students. They've seen him, they feel like they know him, now they get to meet him. So,
thank you very much for everything you're
doing. You're welcome.
Mr. President, I'd like to echo what Mike said in regard to inviting our APA students along the Jim State. So at least put the invitation out there. Considering that we've been accused of doing everything under the sun, and nobody wants to believe us, that we actually are trying to enter into a collaborative partnership. Apparently that's too much for people to understand or accept. And but it is the truth, and I think in the spirit of that truth, it would be great to invite them and see if they would like to attend that.
Remember when we did the first interim report, we had put a little bit of money in there set aside to do some of those activities to try and recruit and retain students. that's starting to get underway, and that's part of that effort. But absolutely, you know, we'll talk with Marilyn and see what ways we can either involve them in Medal of Honor with us collaboratively, and then keep them in the fold and offer up. And then as Wendy and her staff get together, we can kind of start looking at ways to include them in that enrollment packet. Take
there
a look at that. Absolutely.
Primarily from our community.
Absolutely.
Just chosen a different elementary path, but we want to come to the junior high.
Sure.
We've got to make sure that happens.
Sure.
Thank you.
Our kids.
Yep.
Absolutely. I mean, I would also parent ask me today if their kid can actually go to Einstein. I said, well, of course.
Yeah.
Or can they go to Metallurg? I said, either one.
Yeah. We have them both. It goes both ways. It's the schools of choice now. This whole district, pretty much.
So, you know, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
At least let them know.
Very good.
All right, moving on to 8.0, correspondence, proposals, reports. 8.1, AATA representative. CSEA representative. And then, student representative, 8.3.
Well, before you get started, if you wouldn't mind, because I want you to give your final report after this, and Mr. Porter, if you could join me up here. Rennell, because it is your last time, we wanted to recognize you and present to you a certificate of achievement, if you would. This is, again, for your outstanding service to the district and to the board, sitting on the board. We greatly appreciate your time and effort, and obviously we wish you luck. Your last one, so make it the good one.
On January 11th, I personally attended the conference mornings. It was a really valuable experience for the members of the group because talking to the guy in the comfort zone is really because of the solo pieces. So, the group leader was the first time we had this solo. So, it was really valuable experience for all of them.
Yeah,
can hardly hear you. Yeah, turn the mic on. There you go.
And just a friendly reminder that Mr. Vasquez's casual will be taking place on January 30th at Little Rock at 7 o'clock p.m. Since this is my last board meeting, I just want to express my thanks to Mr. DeVoe for inviting me into the position. Being on the board taught me to be more involved with school and my peers, which is no doubt going to pay off in the future when I go to college and also in the world.
So, can you tell us about Harvard? Any news? No?
All I can say is that I think it went pretty well.
Do you? Okay, great. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Let us know if you're successful, okay?
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You did great. 8.4, the annual audit report. Dr. Bagrasha.
I'll share with you folks a little bit about...
Turn that on, Steve. I don't know if it's on.
Yes,
no, turn
it's
it on.
On.
On top.
Hello?
There you go.
So I'll share with you a little bit about our annual audit for 2013-14. This is last year. We have our audit completely finalized. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the findings in the audit and give you just a brief overview of... Typically, what happens is the auditors will come into the district before we close the books. They'll ask for records and different types of things from sites and different departments. They'll allow the district the opportunity to close the books, and then they'll come back and see how you closed, if there were any changes to fund balances and that sort of thing. We didn't have anything like that. Fortunately, when we had the unaudited actuals, those numbers were actually true numbers, so there were no restatements noted in the audit report. So how we ended the year, we ended the year the way we thought we would end the year. And so I'll get into some of the findings as we go through. The first one on here has to do with our fund balances and reserves. Last year was a very challenging year for us from a financial standpoint, but we were able to actually not deficit spend. We had actually about a $65,000 surplus last year, and so fortunately we were able to utilize some funds for maintenance and help balance the budget for the current year. So.
Before you go on, let me add to that is that in that particular element, I went back and looked at a few other years. I think it's the first time in the last 7 to 8 years that we've actually not been in a deficit spending pattern, where we actually had a surplus of, what do you say, 65,492, according to my notes. So, again, you know, all things being what they are, we've reduced that deficit, and now we're ending up in a surplus, and we expect the pattern to continue year after year after year. And that's, again, something I wanted to point out, so thank you.
So that was the first one, and going into the second one has to do with cash receipt controls, and basically the auditors wanted us to make more timely deposits. There were times where there was a holiday, and sometimes we didn't figure it out with the bank, and so the auditors suggested that we improve that internal control and begin to make deposits in a more frequent manner. I discussed it with the business office staff, and we've begun to implement that, and we've been doing a better job of taking care of that and addressing the findings. The third area has to do with cash disbursements, and we had some in moving 13, 14 files into one room and then bringing in 14, 15 files. We had some minor areas where there was some paperwork that was misplaced, and so they had noted that, and there wasn't anything, there was no material amount, it wasn't a major concern. And finally, the fourth one was the ASB at the middle school. The high school looked like they're doing a really good job, and so there's an area of opportunity there to basically tighten up ASB, and I'll work with the site to obviously do that, provide whatever training or necessary materials we need. So that was it for four findings. I thought overall it went pretty well. I can recall a time where we had about a dozen findings. Last year, I think we were about seven or eight, so we're down to four, and I think we're continuing to try and improve internal controls and strengthen processes within the district office and the sites as well.
Let me elaborate just a little bit on that, and I think Steve hit it, by my count, it was 12, and you know, several years ago, that's quite a bit, and then now it was six or five, or whatever, now it's four, and I think each year we're really tightly coupling what we do and the organization, and obviously I'm going to give direct, that directly attributed to Steve and his staff, and Amy and Julie. Those three individuals are really doing a great job over at the district office in the financial piece to make sure that when we ask for reports or we ask for different elements, it's in a timely fashion and it's correct in such a way where we clearly know where we stand at all times. And again, I appreciate to you and your staff and making sure this, you know, this audit is cleaned up. And I see obviously there's some little areas we got to clean up still, rightly so, but it's been reduced down to four, which is, again, a fairly low number from what I've seen in other districts. So again, thank you for that. And your staff, please let them know.
Thank you.
Okay. Board, any questions from the board?
I did have a question, though.
Sure.
Do you guys have any questions?
I have one quick note. I seem to recall, because I've only been to these in a lot, that ASB, it might have been in a different school last year, the same type of
it. It was actually the same school.
So, if they got it under control at the high school, maybe...
No.
Get ahead of it and teach the other two schools.
Well, that's one of the things I have talked to Wendy, and that's one of the elements. But again, there's a process that we need to address.
You solved it one place and it went astray.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I wish that was the case.
Okay. That's all.
I had some questions for the superintendent earlier today. They're nothing of true public interest. They're just about account balances and where we were and how we got there. Those were answered to my satisfaction. And the only comment I have is, in reading the audit report, I didn't find anything remarkable in it. And anytime you don't find anything remarkable in an audit report, it's a good audit report.
you're always going to find something that you need to do or not to do or what have you. But you're really looking for remarkable issues. I didn't see any in there. So, in my experience, that there's nothing remarkable in an audit report, it's a good report. So, I'm more than satisfied with it.
Thank you, Mr. Stetson.
I did have one quick question. Like in the private sector, you'll have all kinds of accounting tools that will give you like a real-time snapshot of where you're at. Is there such things in education that you feel that...
Well, yeah, we try to do the best we can. We utilize different types of software. We are forced to use county and state software, which tends to be like a one-size-fits-all. You can't really get custom stuff. And so you tend to see some really antiquated technologies that we're forced to use.
Don't get us started.
But we try to do the best we can internally to try to, you know, keep updated on what's going on and look at things from a long period of time out so we can anticipate things.
I can tell you what I was saying before is what Steve and his staff have put together, and specifically Steve, around timeliness of information and data. There isn't anything or any request that I give him within 24 hours is at back of my desk, and it's correct, and I understand it. We have a good conversation about it. It's easily understandable, and I think it's really concise, especially with a construction piece, and we got some things there going on, as you know, dealing with millions of dollars in a short amount of time. And so far, again, I don't anticipate anything different. It's really well done. And so as you look at the audit report, Mr. Vistasi with the nail on the head, there's really nothing remarkable at all.
They're saying about the deposits and stuff, that's about it.
Yeah.
They got to throw something up there.
Of course.
But, I think we're very blessed to have you on board. And thank you very much for bringing him on board, because I think before, there's a lot of fires that you were putting out in the financial part of things, and was taking a lot of your time. I think it's great that you have the right fit.
Well, you've got a good team. They're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foreman.
Moving on to 8.5, EHS new construction.
Okay. I'd like to do a couple things tonight. I really appreciate, Tuesday? We had Mike Fox and three bond oversight committee members, which was Kimberly Clemens, Bob Molesky, and Mike Ricochet. We all went to Bakersfield and we toured the facility where they're currently constructing our modular buildings for Vasquez High School. Toured the plant, toured the facility, had every question you can think of.
Is that the same place you and I went to before?
Yes, it is, actually. But this time it's our buildings.
Now you're watching.
Yeah, so we saw them through the assembly line and got to see each of the buildings that they're currently working on and when they're going to be delivered, et cetera. And so we had a good opportunity to have a conversation with everyone. I appreciate you guys coming and taking the day and the time to come up there. It's a lot. But in addition to that, I think that Bob is going to be incorporating that into his report as a bond oversight committee. And as Lillian knows, secondly, Lillian and I and Dorothy Daniels toured the Vasquez site yesterday, and she's writing an article in the paper, and I appreciate your time and effort to do that. And what, again, as part of that is she's on the bond oversight committee as well, but they're going to put together a committee report, which is required. So we will have that here shortly, and they're looking at all the expenditures and ensuring that they're appropriate, et cetera. And so I believe, I can't remember our deadline or our time. Do you remember, was it June? We're going to give her a report. Do you remember? The secretary. You're the secretary. Put you on the spot. Sorry. I know. I thought it was before the end of the year. I think we should have a good report for you. But
no, by spring.
Oh, what was it? Okay. Okay, very good. Yeah. I can't remember either, but I appreciate that. But Bob wanted to go and view. And then the last piece of what we're going to do is I'm going to do the same invitation. And, again, you guys are welcome to come and the bond oversight committee as well. But, again, you got to make sure you advise me if you want to come so that I can post it if necessary. But if we meet on campus, the last thing they wanted to do was come when we're going to set a building. So the next building that's going to come, I believe, is the Culinary Arts Building, which is also the, which, if you will, band choir building. So I'll put out an invitation and let everyone come. And if you guys want to see that, you want to tour the campus, see what's currently there, what they've currently set, be happy to set that up, and so I'll put that out to you again. But we'll have another visit, and then I know Lillian and several other folks have requested that. They wanted that there. I'll afford you, obviously, the opportunity to do that as well. We'll get a tour of the site, okay? Last thing I wanted to talk about on the construction piece, what are the... I'm going to call it a major change, but it's really, it's not a major change, but for me, if you take a look at the flooring in the gymnasium, and as you know, we had a lot of issues surrounding that gym, and what are we going to put in, because it's an NPR, and we'll be eating in there, and we also have a lot of meetings in there, we have a stage and a drama program, etc., so we wanted to make sure that the floor would hold up to the use and abuse of multiple programs. So Will went on a couple trips. Gary and I went on a couple trips. We went to Long Beach, the university. We went to multiple schools across the Southland that had this, what's called a Mondo all-purpose floor. Talked to maintenance guys, talked to custodians, talked to the principal, et cetera, and really took a look at what the floor was and in play with a bunch of kids. And we really were able to determine that's an inappropriate floor for a high school. And the reason being, in several of them, they were eating on them, and the oils, because it's two oil-based products, the floor was an oil-based product, and say, for example, in one school, they were eating a bunch of popcorn. And the popcorn would spill out, of course, on the floor, and it has oils all over it. Well, it would pit the floor in certain sections.
Yeah.
And you couldn't seal it, and there was, you know, this issue and that issue, etc. And then we went over to Long Beach State and looked at it from a competition standpoint. I don't know if you've seen the pyramid, but it's an amazing facility. But as you take a look at that and you look at all the high schools and the gymnasiums, we really had to put a competition floor in there, which is a suspended wood floor, like a typical gymnasium floor. So we're going to go back to a suspended wood floor. And we're making the necessary adjustments now. There may be a change order. I don't know what and what. We've already accounted for that flooring, but we are going to now go back, and there's a slight difference in the concrete height than some different things. So the credit may offset any of the other, but I'll let you know. But it will be
the current credit.
The current credit, yeah. So my hope is, again, that it's an offset and it's a wash. We'll see. I'll let you know when we come closer. But the only other consideration is we're going to have to buy covers for the wood floor. It's just no way I can get around it. Either I buy covers and cover the rubber floor, or I buy covers and cover the wood floor. You'd rather have a CIF competition floor for volleyball, for basketball, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's what we're going to be going to. There's one other consideration. Mark knows this as well, is the maintenance issues are going to be higher. It's just that simple. I was trying to get away from that and not have all the maintenance where you got to strip it. You got to then, you know, keep that coating on it, and that's a once-a-year task. Will's planning for that now. He's going to, you know, gear up for that and see to make sure.
It all comes down to whether the maintenance is worth the competition for.
Yeah, and at this point, we evaluated it. He evaluated it. We all sat down and looked at it, and we just, you know, it's just because remember that you may have damage the other way if you're going to be eating on it all the time and you have oils on the floor. So either way, it felt like there was going to be an offset of maintenance. The rubber floor is not maintenance-free. There's stuff you need to do to it. Plus, you know, kids, they had gum on one section, and then another one, a kid had spilled an ink pen, and there was ink all over the floor, and they couldn't get it up. They couldn't get the ink out of the rubber. It was really weird. So, you know, and it just wasn't something I was happy with, to be honest with you. So we kind of nixed that idea. We're going to go back to a wood floor. And I'll get you an updated status on that.
And the covers in place most of the time, unless it's a, you know, for the lunch use and everything else?
Well, probably not, because they're going to do PE in there almost daily. Okay, so.
We'll go on.
Yeah, and remember we talked about one of the issues, as you know, was we need to take a look at and consider a day custodian, maintenance type person. That would, prior to lunch, if we're going to use that, we also have the NPR, which would be Building K. It's that big building. Normally, kids will still eat outside. When we have inclement weather, yeah, we're going to need the day custodian, maintenance person, whatever we decide on, to cover the floor and then obviously roll it back up. And they make them now where it's on a big roller like a pool cover, and then you just roll it out, spread it out, and it's easy to get back and forth and on and off. So we looked at several. We're currently looking at them, but that will be an expenditure for sure.
We'll evolve through this process and see where it ends
up. We were going to have to buy one on the rubber floor either way. There's no way we could just eat on that floor or... But, you know, sorry, ladies with heels, poking holes in the floor, things like that, during types of events. And we saw several of those markings in the floors we visited. Just, it didn't make sense, to be honest with you. So.
The key, I mean, none of this is surprising.
Yeah.
The key is to develop that rollout mechanism where if somebody's not laying down 6 foot by 6 foot pieces.
Yeah. No.
This has to be in one or two sections at most.
It's big tarps, and then they spread out, and then it's an electro thing that winds it back up. It's
sometimes
easy.
Sometimes it can be hard to figure out where to install them, considering that you have bleachers.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And do they go in front or behind? How do they go? Do they suspend from the ceiling?
Yeah.
So that's something that Gary and the project team will have to look at.
That's our next task, is we're going to go down and look at some other schools with wood floors and see some of those mechanisms and start to select that stuff.
That's the only thing that we need to be smart on.
Yeah, I agree.
So that you don't need a team of infield people to roll out
exactly.
The rings and have 85 custodians there to roll it all out.
But if you have graduation or you have a big event or something, you know, obviously we'll need staff to be able to pull that out, then obviously put it back up and take a good, you know, make sure we're taking care of that floor. But there will
every
be maintenance issues.
It does.
Unless you're going to get, you know, CBT, this floor like this. You want to play basketball on that? That's not good. We can't have that. So we're going to go back to a full-blown CIF competition floor.
Well, it comes down to what the price of maintenance is going to be and the wood, and it comes down to what the price difference between what we have
right.
allocated for
right.
currently, you know. So once I mean, from what I hear, it sounds like you don't think it's going to be that much of a difference, and any credits we get might cover.
That's my hope. I shouldn't overpromise and
underpromise. Of course, if it came back and you're like, damn, the wood is three times the price, right?
We have more than one credit.
Yeah.
Overall project is less.
Exactly. Yeah, we may have to bleed over phase one to phase two, or the money's in the budget.
It's not that big of an issue.
Anyway, we're not actually having an issue. Not so much.
I was going to say that we keep in mind that we save a lot of money on the transportation. Currently, we have all these apartment beds for basketball and the field for something else.
That's true.
A lot of money.
So that's our offset.
That's good. You're right. We're going to definitely save money on that.
All right. We're moving on. Is that it, Dr.
You know what?
Something else?
I'm going to tell you one more thing. I wanted to mention to you the State Allocation Board and the status of the funds that are going to be delivered to the district. As you can imagine, the State Allocation Board was set to meet in January. They did not meet. They didn't have a quorum. And so, and the next board meeting is until February. Don't quote me, the 28th, I believe. And so our allocation is on that agenda. It's on the consent calendar. We don't expect any issues, but it's been kicked back a month in terms of delivery of the money, simply because, again, there's some issues there with quorums. So I just wanted to let you know we still have not received the money, but we don't expect any issues or problems because it's on the consent. And there won't be any discussion at all. Or, obviously, I'd go up to Sacramento, but we don't anticipate any issues. But I just want to make sure you do that. That's all I have.
Let's just keep the state solvent.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Woodard, 8.6 is the superintendent report. Do you want to continue with that?
Yes, I do, if I could, please. Mr. Fox, if you could come with me up here, I'd appreciate it. Simply because I think you know a little bit about the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
I have three individuals here tonight I wanted to recognize. Okay, so if you would, I'd like to have these, I think all three of them are here. Jack Ryan Morris. Can you come on up? That's a great name, by the way, Jack Ryan. You got yeah, there you go.
I'm sure they'll be a photo.
Next, we'll like to have Devin Muzu. I thought I butchered your name. Sorry, Devin. Come on up. And then Chris Trott. And each one of them did a little bit different, and maybe they can tell us a little bit about what they did and why they did it and those kinds of things. But we'll start with Jack, if you would. Basically, he did a desert scape around the Flagpole area, Acton School. And can you tell us a little bit about why and how and
the badge, et cetera, the process, how you ended up volunteering to do that project?
I talked to Mr. Simmons, asked him what I could do to help out the community, the school district, and told me he wanted fence put in and the area cleaned up. So.
Okay. Awesome. It looks great, by the way. If you get a chance to take a look at it, phenomenal job. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And then Devin, he rebuilt and painted announcer's booth at VHS football field. Again, you talk a little bit about that, badges or anything that you received or that you're working towards.
I'm going for my board review in next month, so that's a big deal for me. Basically, the reason I did what I did as a project was I've been on the football team for 4 years. Had a great season this year, and going along with the great improvements we've been having campus-wise, building the whole school and everything, I thought it only be right to refurbish and make our athletic look a lot better than it was as it is.
Fantastic. Thank you. You did a great job as well, and again, much greatly needed and appreciated. And then Chris, he built two kiosks at the High Desert campus. If you can, again, tell us a little bit about what you were going for and maybe how you ended up on that project.
Well, I ended up on that project. I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do, so I went to Ms. Nahar. She was the principal at the time when I first found this project. And I went there and asked her what she needed. She said she was already looking for putting some on campus, but she said it would be more desirable and it could benefit the community more than one way than just for the school. It would help for its staff students and help out with that.
Awesome. And these young men, along with, I think, I don't know, I'm sure, is Gallagher, is that correct?
Assistant Scoutmaster and the staff.
Oh, okay, absolutely, then I'm on that. But periodically, we get these gentlemen and these young gentlemen that come in and they offer their services. Can't tell you how much we appreciate your time and effort. We know it's selfless, and we wanted to just thank you in public. We have a couple different appreciations, if you would, Mike.
Man,
of course.
I'm a scoutmaster. Mr. Prada is a scoutmaster with me. Chris was one of my pupils. Even before that, one of my Cub Scouts. For those of you who are not aware of scouting, what these guys have done is incredible. It really is. Less about 1% of all kids that start scouting usually start in kindergarten, first grade. Only 1% make it to school. And I really don't know of any similar type of achievement there is in the activity that takes quite that much time. Because these guys basically can add kindergarten, first grade. Devin's your senior or junior? Senior. And so it really is a youth-long commitment. And they just keep plugging and plugging and plugging and plugging at it. And it culminates with the Eagle Project, and that's what's heard about tonight. And those are projects that have, I don't want to go into statistics, but they have minimum number of volunteer hours that you have to. If the volunteer is on the job, you can't do it yourself. There's a minimum amount of dollar value that typically you have to raise for the project. I'm not sure about that one. It is students planned from and executed. So in that regard, it's much like some of the projects that the kids start doing when they get to college. Except maybe even a little more so because they're actually responsible for getting manpower for it. So it's amazing. And I applaud you guys for doing it. I hope my son will be there this spring. And I'm also a scoutmaster. If I do, I would have been a uniform tonight. Thank you. And congratulations. That's great. 1%. Oh, yeah. Why don't you guys just hold them up, take a little posties off. Oops. There you go.
Absolutely.
Okay, 8.7, board member comments. Mr. Fox?
Yeah, I just have one brief one. I am ecstatic about what I saw at the factory for the school construction. You know, in the beginning, just because of the journey we took, you guys took, I wasn't around for most of it, I felt as if maybe we were settling for the way in which we procured the campus, and we should not feel that way at all. I mean, you look at those buildings, and they are built rock solid. I mean, they are stick-framed buildings. They're better because they've got these metal I-beams like this every 12 feet in the walls and across the ceilings. It's actually remarkable. And then when you look inside the walls, you can see things like all the electrical is in solid conduit like they used to do in the old days versus how they do it now where it's in rubber or Romex. And for a school, that's important because somebody's going to put a nail through the wall to hang a picture or something. And there's actually a conduit there. The plumbing is all, there's no plastic plumbing.
Yeah.
So if anybody thinks in a second that the way in which and the quality with which your school is being built is in any way substandard, it's just not. And I think it's actually better. And the reason it's cheaper is obvious when you're there on the site. You know, nobody's standing around on their shovel. We're not paying for people to stand around on their shovel waiting for a subcontractor to arrive, wait for that subcontractor to arrive, wait for the materials to arrive. It's all there, and so they get incredible efficiencies, and we benefited from that. But I don't think we've forsaken anything in the quality of what I saw. It's remarkable. I'll just add, because I don't know anything about construction, one of the bond oversight committee members is a lifelong union carpenter. His comment was, this is the future. And I felt the same way when I was there. So I think everybody's been really pleased with what rolls in.
You can't tell the difference. Like, if you go to a finished product and you go inside, you wouldn't think that's a manufacturer.
No. In fact, so I happened to mention that back when we were voting on this and I was concerned about the way we were building the school and was it going to be durable enough, I went and looked at Golden Valley High School down in Canyon Country because that's Hart High School District's newest school. And I happened to mention that to the guys on the site. And they said, oh, well, we built all the buildings in the back. So we're hardly doing something new also. And that was also one of my concerns. When I was in there snooping, I got there early. And I just saw all the contract books, the labels, Pomona School District, this school district, that school district. So it's not as if we're paving new ground. You know, you don't want to be the first.
Yes.
It's good to be progressive, but you don't want to be the first. And by no means are we. So I think everybody's really pleased when they get inside there. But anyway, I made a believer.
Mike, thanks for going out there. Thanks for taking the time to do that. Initially, when we were trying to decide if we're going to go in this direction or not, you and I took a drive out there, and I was equally impressed, and I thought that with the limited knowledge of construction I have, which is residential construction, I think things like you mentioned, like the metal beams and just the engineering that goes into it, the solid concrete floors, right? And even the inside the concrete, they have that metal framing for the concrete. That's kind of a mesh stuff inside the actual concrete. Concrete is 10 inches thick. So there's I don't think we're compromising quality or anything here. And Bob is probably right. That is probably a way of the future where a lot of buildings will be built on.
Well, with the lack of school funding through the state, it's almost a necessity.
And they're building more in the schools now.
That's all as well. Because of the reduced cost, also, and the reduced allocation from the state, also the district should go into it financially.
And Bakersfield Airport is not that risky.
Well, universities are doing it too. Remember, we went to the university. Ed and I saw Cal State Bakersfield uses them like crazy. And then you look at the state match and the differences. It used to be, you know, where they would fund a majority of it. Now it's 50 to 60% to 70%. And in some cases, it's hard to keep up with the state match. They match less and less. And obviously, they don't even have a school construction program now. So,
you know, my point was it's not a quality thing.
No.
It's an efficiency thing. They're just more efficient. Exactly. Because the people are all there where the work is.
And it is of higher quality.
I think it is, actually.
And,
anyway,
you know,
thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. It was fun. Thanks. Good day.
Very good. Ms. Foster?
Yeah, somebody probably ought to call our school district to our south and give them a news flash that we're not about to be taken over by the state with our budget or anything. Keep hearing that propaganda.
Well, I meant to, while you say that,
I would suggest that that's certainly not the case.
Well, can you talk about the letter you just received in your packet that we are now certified as positive? So we just recently received that. I meant to mention that in the audit, but we were recently certified by LA County as positive, which again is means we plan to make our reserve at the end of the year. So very true.
Mr. Douglas would find that interesting.
He only missed it by $245,000, but it's okay.
Anything else?
Yes, I was asked to inform and invite the board to the Albert Einstein Academy, Partnership Academy at Agua Dulce School. We've all been invited to attend their February 7th, 9 a.m. to noon Family Fun Day. I was supposed to bring the flyer, and I left it in my printer because I'm an irresponsible board member, so I didn't pull it out. So I'm staring at it on my phone. And I'll just verbally tell you that it's a family fun day. They're going to be reopening the science lab that was started at the old Agua Dulce School, and so that's a grand reopening. It's a $5 per person pancake breakfast. There's a lot of activities for kids. There's a climbing wall, a video game truck. There's tours of the campus. Students will be performing. And again, you've been invited by the Academy to attend. So any of you that wish to do so, again, it's February 7th at 9 noon. I don't know.
Mr. Layton?
No, not this evening.
Okay. We're moving on to 9.0, Consent Agenda. It's recommended that the following Consent Agenda item be approved. The minutes from the last meeting and the warrant register from this agenda. Do I have a move?
Move.
I'll second.
Thank you. Are we good with the minutes?
Good. Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 401. 10.0, Educational Student Services. 10.1, Resolution 14-15-08. AEA LIS STEAM amended. So we have the amended document here. Has everyone had a chance to read that?
Yes.
Let's move this in. Do I have a move to move?
Move.
I'll second that. Any discussion?
Mr. President, if I could give you a brief summary of what this is. If you remember at the last board meeting, the board approved the petition of Einstein. And, however, there was an amended version of it. And so between legal and myself and Lucy, and then obviously as the secretary, he did not sign the petition yet because of the amendment. We gathered all the information, and this is the actual amended resolution. So what, if anything, you approve tonight is the amended resolution as per what was voted on and approved and at the last meeting. So this is an encapsulation, if you will, of the resolution only, not approval of the petition, but amendment of the resolution, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Effectively, all the amendment is the inclusion of the additional...
Correct.
Correct.
There was an inclusion of that, and then it also was to accept the staff report. Correct.
It took about 15 word eases to say that.
I know.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Nay.
Okay. Okay, 3-1-1. Three in favor, one nay, and one absent. 11.0, personnel services. Resignation of classified employee, employee numbers 141566 and 141551.
Move.
I'll second that. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
11.2, resignation, release of certified employees, employee number 141567. Do I have a move? Marcus Vessel. Do I have a second? I'm actually going to vote nay on this. I'm not going to accept it. So you guys, if I can get some more.
You got my vote.
I know why.
All in favor?
Aye.
You want to explain for people?
Yeah, I think it's appropriate. You know, even it is Megan Freeman has resigned from the Director of Ed Services, Student Services. And, you know, I'll let her talk to folks or do whatever she wants. But, I mean, ultimately, all of those folks at the back of the table are going to hate to see her go. She services the district in pretty much every area you can think of in the district. And, you know, it's bittersweet for her to do this. But at the same time, I kind of begged her to stay another year. She wanted to kind of resign last year, but... You know, so she did a favor to me and a favor to everyone at the back of the table. And so, again, Megan, I don't know, if you'd like to address the board, that'd be great.
Wow, the rumors flew today about why I'm making this really tough choice. And Dr. Ryan is absolutely right. You know, I started this district before I thought I had a great journey and a great vision about what my leadership would be like. And life happens. And I have three beautiful children. And my decision today isn't because I don't love my job. In fact, I love it immensely. I love this community, and it has been nothing but supportive of me. All of the rumors I've heard today, from I'm going to law school to you can imagine it, are not true. What is true is I'm a mom first. And when I'm looking at my career path, I can no longer, I have to make sure that I'm balancing being a mom, a single mom, with my career passions and goals. And so when there's a matter of whack, I have to make tough choices. Very similar to what I do on a daily basis here, and it's trying to personally affect all of you that I've worked so dearly with. I'm going to continue to serve the district until the end of June. I will forever be a part of this district. My children will continue to attend here. But at this time, I'm going to take some time to breathe and to figure out what I can do so I get myself back in balance and make sure that I put my children and my family first, and then also pursue my dreams in a career that will give me a little bit more flexibility to be able to do that. So it's with a heavy heart that I am here today with this, but truly with intention to work hard until the end of June, because I believe in this district and what we're doing. I'm so very, very proud to have been a part of laying the foundation as to what I believe is going to be a very successful future. So thank you for this outstanding opportunity, and I look forward to serving you until the end of June.
Ms. Freeman, thank you very much. And we all read your resignation letter, and I think it was very heartfelt and very sincere. And I appreciate and believe that you're going to give your 100% till the end of the year, because that oftentimes doesn't happen in situations like this. And I've seen that many times where there's either a non-re-elect or a resignation where a person is putting on maybe 10%. So really appreciate that, and we appreciate that you sent a letter that your children are going to attend the district, and anything that you're doing now is going to benefit them down the line. And I really want to commend what you went through the last couple of years with your husband. You really behaved in a very graceful manner in relation to your job. And you're always there 100%, so I really want to thank you for that, for your service. Good luck. All right, 11.3. Uh, I'll second that. This is 11.3 is for the approval of certificate of personnel, employee number 141568, Spanish teacher for VHS. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
401, that's effective page 123.
Really, really excited about this teacher, by the way. We're very happy to have her. And, I mean, the staff is, you know, just incredible over there at Vasquez. And so this is just another cog in the wheel, if you will. And it's another good staff member. And they got a great staff over there. So. What's that? As soon as this print's clear. Just approved it yesterday. Prints will clear hopefully in a week, and then she'll be on the way.
So this effective date 123 is just
it's tentative based on as soon as she signs her contract. It'll be her official date. But.
Excellent, thank you. 11.4 approval of classified personnel. It's recommended that the board approve the following classified personnel: employee numbers all starting with 141, 574, 573, 571. 572, 569, 570, 575, and 577. Do I have a move?
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approval of coaching personnel. This is for the boys basketball at VHS. Employee number 141576.
Second.
Who seconded? Mark Nastasi. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. 12.0, business and financial. This is for change order number 4, James E. Thompson Incorporated, DBA, JTS Construction.
Second.
Has it been written James E. Thompson, Inc., doing business as JTS Construction before?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
See it as
I believe so. I think it's written exactly as is.
Okay,
If I can, before you vote, if you will, if you look at the summary of the change order and the outline, there's three items, A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, again, this is a credit. This is not a change order. This is actually some credits that's going to come back to us. And at the very top of that document, under change order number 4, we've changed the format just a little bit, just so that we can begin to kind of track it in terms of where we're at on the change order values. Change order 1 was worth $46,000. Change order 2 was $131,000. We had a change order 3, which was a credit, and now a credit of $37,177. So the difference is the original contract amount was $11,107,000. That reduces the contract amount now to $11,031,000. So it's actually a reduction in the total guaranteed maximum price, as we have talked about with the changes and the omissions in phase 1. And then changing it to phase 2. So it's a number to the good to the district. However, that doesn't mean you get to spend it. It's still in the total contract price. And when we do closeout, then we'll be able to say, okay, how much is left? $100,000, $50,000, $2. Then we can decide, then it rolls over to phase 2 and phase 3, and we'll go through that process.
And so, even then, there will be unforeseen things.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
Like you can just spend it. You
know? Exactly. So I just wanted to explain the variance that we gave.
You can't spend it anyway because the big credit of $200,000 actually moves into the other school.
Exactly.
That was the local.
Either way, you're going to spend it, so I don't want you to think we have all this money.
It's,
We didn't move this in. I'm going to move it in.
Oh, you do?
Do I have a second?
She hasn't moved in.
I didn't write it down. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So I moved in. And Mark seconded.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I got a question. So, the $35,000 credit for storm grid consolidation, what's actually going on? Did you change the plan?
No, here's what happened. There was unforeseen conditions in the ground. There was an existing storm drain pipe. And there was no way, unless they would have punched all the way down, to be able to find this particular pipe that was in the ground that was abandoned. So as we got into the undergrounding and the construction of it, they ran into that pipe. And so they had to do additional work and do some things.
Oh, okay.
That was unforeseen. That was in the undergrounding when it was originally excavated and we did all the trenching. So that was...
This is a credit.
Well, that's because, again, I think it's in this case, the additional funds, the landscaping plan was implemented. But in this case, it's the storm drain consolidation, this one. But remember, the last one was an actual, not a credit, but it was an expense.
Right, I understood the expense.
Okay, so this one is the storm drain consolidation, laterals, and structure reconfiguration for, again, to accommodate and revise the enhanced landscape plan, which is phase two. So they're not going to do it in phase one, in other words. It's a phase two consideration.
So there's things that we're going to do plan B, and we're building just basically half the school. And when we built half the school, there was things that we're going to have to finish right then that we're not going to have to finish now since we're going right into phase two. So that's...
These are things we were going to do, but we're not going to do now because of phase two. So we eliminate it out of phase one and kick it over to phase two, and it becomes a credit in phase one. That makes it more simple.
Okay, thanks.
I misunderstood your first question. Sorry.
Didn't I text right at one tree?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Quick question.
Sure.
So it looks like there's a... I'm not worried about taking that box. I read it, it's because they're not going to be ceiling mounted, they're going to be wall mounted.
Actually, no, we're not going to use them at all. And the difference is Ty and we have a couple different folks over there that are going to what's called a Q conference. In their preliminary investigation, the pull-down screen is honestly archaic. They don't have those anymore. And he found some technology that actually goes on a whiteboard where teachers can use the whiteboard and a screen, and it's a multi-purpose piece. That's much better for instruction. So it's an upgraded technology, and we took it out of the original design. Remember, this was 2-3 years ago that we started.
The only reason I said what I did is because I'll explain your question.
Yeah.
The district requests a revision from the ceiling-mounted projectors to wall mount.
But because the wall mount is actually a whiteboard, so it's not a pull-down screen projector at the ceiling. Yeah. It's still a projection screen, but it's a different configuration.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
12.2, change order number 1, James E. Thompson Incorporated, doing business as JGS Construction, Vasquez High School Project Phase 2. It's recommended that the board approve change order number 1. Do I have a move? I'll second it.
Let me explain this a little bit. Remember, we had talked a little, I don't know, I think we talked about this, but this is that builder's risk insurance credit. Originally, it was in the guaranteed maximum value contract. Well, I got together with a couple different insurance agents, and we took a look at purchasing it ourselves, and we're able to do it at a much reduced cost. It's a couple thousand dollars, guys, but it was worth the effort to be able to do that. And I know, you know, it's not a significant amount, but every dollar counts in this project, and so we were able to save a couple thousand dollars as a result. So you'll see that expenditure, but it won't be $11,678. So this is a credit off the guaranteed maximum price.
Doctor, wouldn't every case like this counts? And I appreciate you doing this, and I know there's not a way for us to truly know all the different ways that you do this, and you try and get the best deal possible and exhaust every option possible.
Well, we called Keenan, and they were great. I specifically called Keenan. Lucy called Keenan. We all were, and they gave us all kinds of different quotes, and we were able to get it down in such a way where we save money, and it's worth the effort to do that. And so the whole team really put that together, and Jim helped out a lot too. So
thank you, Kevin.
You bet.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
13.0, future agenda items. We have the late start school day study for VHS with us on the last meeting. Anything we want to put on future agenda items? Okay. Moving on to 14.0, our next meeting is February 12th and February 26th after that. So that calendar is remaining as is, correct? Special.
We've got to talk about that at some point. We need to set some special budget study sessions. I think at the next board meeting, I'd like you to start thinking about potential budget studies in the March time frame, and then Steve and I will come up with some recommendations based on May revise potentially and some other things. If there's specific things you want to talk about, we can start talking about them, but yes, thank you. I'm not obviously ready for that yet, but there's no doubt we need to start
March
setting those meetings so you guys can prepare.
I think March we should do that.
Well, yeah, no, we'll take a look at that. I'll get some dates from Steve based on when things come out from the state, and as we get different information. It looks like the budget's going to be fairly positive, but we don't know yet definitively in the governor's budget.
Thank you, Doctor.
You bet.
15.0 closed session. We had no closed session today. 16.0 adjournment. Do I have a move? Second. Thank you. All in favor of adjournment at 8:41 p.m.?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.